Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. I'm excited about our guest today, Swish Goswami. He's built a multi-hyphenate career. 22 years old, he's already a serial entrepreneur for a long time. LinkedIn youth editor, past Fortune 500 consultant for companies such as Google, American Express, and others. A venture capitalist, a UN youth ambassador, three-time TEDx speaker, disruptor, curator, a builder, an influencer, and CEO and co-founder of TrueFan. Swish, thanks for spending a few minutes with us today.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you sharing your story. We love to hear the stories. And so even though a lot of people know who you are, a lot of our audience may not. So give us a few highlights. I've got some notes here, but I'd just like to hear a few highlights from you. I would say from your childhood that really stand out to you that led you to the journey that you're on today.
Totally, yeah. I was born in Singapore, beautiful, beautiful country out in Southeast Asia. And I didn't really have an abnormal childhood whatsoever. I had a great childhood, but I wasn't a child genius or anything like that. I think some of the moments, though, that stood out to me were I developed a pretty big obsession of movies, both Hollywood and Bollywood movies, when I was 5 and 6 years old, which very much sparked by creativity, especially around writing and being obsessed about writing stories and writing my ideas down on paper. When I was 7 years old, I built a hovercraft with my father. He's an engineer by trade, so he did most of the building. I did most of the watching and motivation, but I was still able to sell that hovercraft, which is remote controlled and rechargeable, to one of my classmates. And that was one of the first sales I ever actually did in my life, and was able to pocket all $200 and spend it on whatever I wanted to. And then when I was 14, I moved to Calgary, Alberta. I'm in Canada, very, very cold, obviously, and I joined a program called Junior Achievement, which is for high school students to learn about entrepreneurship. Through the program, we built a business, a custom lapels pins business called Tracy's Pins, and for 6 months, we operated it. We did really well in the program, getting nominated for Canada's Company of the Year and winning Southwest Alberta's Company of the Year in the program, and that kind of also showed my parents, like, maybe the typical law, engineering or medical route is probably not right for Swish.
Right.
And so I went through high school, and honestly, in high school, I didn't do too many things entrepreneurial because most of my time was being spent debating. I had started debating in grade 7, and then in grade 10, I got the honor to join the Canadian National Debate Team. I traveled the world pretty much across my 3 years debating for Team Canada and attending two world competitions, one in Singapore and the other one in Thailand. And that taught me, again, a lot about critical thinking and a lot about public speaking, being confident with articulating my views. And a lot of that carried over even to university. And obviously, when I dropped out, I became an entrepreneur full time, but I also didn't forget about speaking. And I started speaking actively on stages worldwide, speaking at a few TEDx conferences. And so that's kind of what my life has become, really, running this company full time, TrueFan. We're a team of 20 in Toronto, hoping to build what we think is the future of marketing, while going through and also speaking at stages and trying to put my voice out on social media.
I love it. You were an average kid, maybe not a genius, but you're doing some great things. I appreciate that humility. I've got a son who's 9, a daughter who's 11. My son reminds me of some things you're sharing right now of how he likes to build things, and hearing your parents be supportive. How did that help you to have parents that were supportive? And 7 years old, you have an idea for a hovercraft, your dad helps you build it. That stands out to you as a big memory, which is really cool. Talk to me about being supportive and what it meant to you to have that kind of support from your parents.
It was the X factor, right? Like, again, right. I wasn't a child genius. I don't think I was, but I had incredibly supportive parents. Like, I remember my mom would drive me to field hockey practice in the morning. Then after that, take me to school, pick me up from school. She'd be like, "What do you want to eat?" Bring me my lunch or my dinner, sometimes even into the car, and drive me to dance practice or debate practice or whatever it was. So, like, to have parents that kind of gave their soul and their life to me is just something that I'm very indebted to, which is why even now, like, you know, the closest thing that I have in my life is still family. It'll never beat my friends. It'll never beat my business partners, whatever it is. Just, you know, the bloodlines that I developed growing up and the way that they supported me is something I'll never forget.
I love that. And, you know, something that stands out to me, I see a lot of seasoned entrepreneurs or leaders who start with this curiosity and begin to create things, but then kind of get knocked down over time and they get jaded. I feel like you've really bottled the curiosity part of it. And how does that work for you? How do you stay focused? How do you stay motivated? What's the secret sauce for you?
Yeah, I think in terms of being motivated, it's just to kind of put yourself in an uncomfortable situation. And I think you have no choice but to be motivated when you do that. You know, I dropped out of university after second year and moved to arguably the most expensive city in the world, New York. I did a summer internship at a VC there and then decided to stay there because my roommate and I had this great idea called Dunk. And we built this media network of a bunch of Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter accounts, kind of my first deep look into influencer marketing and social media. And I operated that business with him. But again, my mom was like, you can take 1 year off and then you're going right back to school if this doesn't work out. So I kind of got this like 1 year ultimatum to make sure that I can make this work, that I could be independent, make my own money, live in my own city, pay my own bills. And so that kind of pushed me a lot, you know, a lot to figure out, all right, how am I going to make this work? How am I going to be happy? How am I going to be economical and not be an idiot with my money? And all of those lessons that I learned in that 1 year, which I continue to learn even now, I think it's awesome that I can continue learning as I grow up. You know, there's so many new challenges that come into your head, you know, but I think that's something that really pushed me to stay motivated. But in terms of just overall, like, it doesn't mean that, like, despite being motivated, I don't have mornings where I don't want to get out of bed. Like, I'm not a morning person as it is, so that's just always a tough thing for me to do. But B, there are obviously days where I just, you know, as a human being, feel tired or stressed out or just, like, you know, bogged down with the amount of work that I have. That, yeah, there are times I'm like, maybe it's just better if I sleep in today. But again, I feel like those moments where you push and you get up and you get into the shower and just try getting your shit done are really the days that separate the people that get things done from the people that just are like, all right, you know what, maybe it's not for me.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. So talk to me about mentors or those entrepreneurs who have seen something in you, invited you into something, and have made an impact on your life.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, there are quite a few. I mean, I think the closest ones to me are Michael Hyatt, who ran Blue Cat Networks in Toronto, and he's now sold that business and he's investing through his family office. And then Gary Vaynerchuk as well has been an incredible mentor, someone I looked up to growing up. And then when I had the chance to meet him and then speak alongside him and really connect with him, he's someone that obviously motivated me to take this kind of irregular path and drop out of school and make a career out of myself in entrepreneurship. So those two people I think have been great. But again, like, we have seven advisors at TrueFan, equity holders, who all have come in and are providing great knowledge to my co-founder and I around growing a business, hiring properly, scaling a company, thinking about doing a Series A, acquiring companies, which we've done now before. That's been great to see. And then we have an extended network of about 34 investors as well. So I've purposely built a business where I'm putting myself around people so that I don't always have to call the shots independently. And I have people to be able to bounce ideas off.
Yeah, that's very smart. And, you know, something me as an early entrepreneur 20 plus years ago, wish I had learned sooner, not needing to know all the things and have all the credit and put it all on my shoulders. That seems like that's an old school way of doing it. Took me a while to learn that. I'm glad you have. What advice you have somebody coming up that's thinking about going into business for themselves? They feel that entrepreneur curiosity. They may think, am I too young or do I not have the resources? What are some things they should look at doing?
Yeah, I think A is, most of the doubts that you'll have going into a business should never be about traits outside of the business itself. So you can have doubts about, okay, will this business work? And that's fine. That's actually good. It means you're going to work harder to research about who your competitors are, what the market looks like, what is it that's unique that you're providing. But stuff like, I'm too young, like, I don't know why, but I feel like I don't have sympathy for people who feel that way, because especially in entrepreneurship, it's actually quite an industry that leans young. Like, I would feel worse, I think, if I was 65 and 70. I think there's some fantastic entrepreneurs past the age of 50, but I think they get more overlooked than a 22 or 25-year-old now that decides to start their own business, just because of the way that, I guess, the media has glamorized entrepreneurship and that kind of dorm room dropout, if you will. But At the same time, I think my biggest advice is get into entrepreneurship, not just because you're looking to make money, but because you truly have a sense of purpose with what you're doing, right? Like, it's cliche, but again, during those days, like I just mentioned, where you don't want to get out of bed, it's incredibly hard, I think, to tie your self-worth or the reason you're building your business to money. Because a lot of people never see the money in entrepreneurship until 5, 10, 15 years goes by. Right. And you have that exit, which some people, by the way, never even get to.
Right.
So I think it's really important to attach yourself to a sense of purpose. The reason I'm doing this is because of X, because I believe the world should be X. And that is the reason why I'm motivated to get out of bed every day. So I can not only live in that world, but other people can live in that world. And so the world I live in right now is a world where I believe every single brand and creator should truly own the data that they put out on social media. They should have control over analyzing and deriving value from their data. And that's exactly why we do what we do. And that's honestly what motivates me, at least, to get out of bed and try to continue to blow this up and make it bigger.
If we can, let's dive into that a little bit. This is not just a marketing show, but you know, this is mostly business focused and leadership focused. Tell me more about the product that you have and how it's making an impact right now for businesses.
Totally. Yeah. So we've iterated the product now. I mean, we're 2.5 year, approaching 3 year old company. And the initial idea for TrueFan was simple. It was, let's build a dashboard where every brand and influencer could see their top fans, their top engaged and influential followers on Twitter and Instagram. Then about kind of 2 years later, after we acquired a platform called SocialRank out of New York, we became kind of this full suite social intelligence platform that could help a brand make smarter marketing decisions using data. So we could not only show you your top fans, we could also give you your competitors' top fans. We could allow you to compare your social audience to other people's audiences and see brand overlap. And I think where we're now going to in this kind of like, I guess, going into our third year really, is a broader idea that's also now around, okay, we built a great segmentation and analytics platform, but can we actually now generate first party data from you? Right. Because I think a lot of people in the world are seeing this whole news about TikTok right now, and they're scared because a lot of people, creators and brands, would likely lose their community of 20, 200,000, 2 million followers if TikTok went down. And the problem is no user on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook truly owns their audience. They're playing on rented property.
Right.
So what we want to do is we want to say, in the case that a TikTok does fall, maybe there's a platform like TrueFan that can help you at least get some contact information, emails, phone numbers, postal codes of your followers and the people that genuinely appreciate your content. So that even if TikTok falls, you still control your audience in some way.
It's critical. With our agency, we work through a lot of marketing plans where, especially post-COVID, which, you know, we don't want to date this content, but post-COVID, where finally some brands that have maybe been dinosaurs or slow to change are going, how else can I have outreach and meaningful communication? They've been slow to adapt, right? And so this is a game changer to know who your audience is critical. I've been surprised at how many brands have not taken the time to do that, and now they're forced to. And if a big platform goes down like TikTok, well, you've lost that audience.
Exactly. And so I think, personally speaking, the reason why I love the platform that we built even before with the segmentation software we've been building out now for 2.5 years is it's catered to not just the big enterprises, but it's catered to small businesses. You know, it's why in the last kind of 6-7 months since the start of 2020, we brought on close to 1,000 small businesses to our platform, over 4,000 free users, because we built a pricing plan that's affordable for them. And we've also built a platform that, in my opinion, is easy to use. It's not a lot of marketing jargon. You don't need to be a data scientist to come on and understand what's going on. It's built for small business owners.
Give us a plug for that. Where can our listeners find that?
Absolutely. If you search up trufan.io, TRUFAN.io, you'll get onto our website, and yeah, it's kind of simple from there.
Awesome. Very excited. I look forward to checking that out for ourselves and for our agency clients as well. I want to take just a couple more minutes. We have a few minutes left, and I want to hear more from you about, just in general, what are you most excited about right now? Because I know you've got 1,000 opportunities, and I can hear it, I can see it, but what are you most excited about right now, just in any way, personal or professional?
So I think on the personal side, I'm incredibly excited about learning how to drive. I actually bought a driving simulator for myself in my house that I've now quarantined myself into, and I'm just learning how to drive. You know, I'm learning how to drive a manual too, so I'm pretty excited about that with the clutch and everything. And then on the professional side, I'm definitely obviously excited about this kind of new approach we're taking with first-party data, and we're planning to raise another round by the end of 2020, and potentially acquire one more company. And so I think it'll be a pretty exciting end to the year for us. And I'm excited to see kind of where we go in 2021 when it comes to potentially building this end-to-end data solution that can help brand or creator generate, segment, and analyze their first and third-party data.
Very exciting. I wish they'd had that simulator when I taught my brother-in-law how to drive about the manual about 6-7 years ago. My neck still hurts to this day from teaching him in real time in a parking lot. So if I had known that was available, that would have been a big asset for us.
Yeah. I was in the cottage actually last week, and my brother's wife was like, let's go and take the car out. And we took this car out, and God, I think her neck probably got whiplashed like 4 or 5 times by the amount of like sudden brakes that I put on.
Yeah,
that she was just like, stay at the simulator, just use the simulator, you'll get good.
Oh, I love that. Swish, any final things you want to share? Any final advice or top thoughts right now as far as biggest lessons, recent lessons learned, or a hack you have right now? Just something top of mind.
Yeah, top of mind right now, honestly, and I woke up to this actually, is around your network. You know, obviously, a lot of people are going through a really rough time right now. And I think the one silver lining with COVID that it's given us is that you don't now need an excuse to go back to people you connected with 4 or 5 years ago just to say, hey, how's it going? You know, we don't need that excuse anymore. Everyone can do it because we've all gone through a pretty rough year, I think, in certain aspects. So feel free to do that. You know, look back at your network and think, all right, who are the people that I connected with 3, 4, 5 years ago that made a difference in my life? And even if you haven't talked to them in a while, I would highly encourage you to reach out to them, because you never know again where some opportunities come from and where they can lead to.
Yeah, great idea. I mean, I could talk to you all day, Swish, but I appreciate your time. Thanks for spending time with us today. I want to give a plug again for your website, TrueFan, TrueFan.io. And Swish, thanks for so much. And man, I know you're already one of the up and comings. You're on a lot of lists, but I'm personally excited watching you as one of the up and coming leaders out there that's going to continue to do some amazing things.
Thank you. That means a lot. I really appreciate you having me on.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.